ready. Hake gonna try to stream on IG. IG had a downage, major downage on their end. They were down. We should be live though on other platforms. Indeed, it's 9:01 a.m. U.S. Pacific Standard Time here in Los Angeles. Unless I'm wrong, and I am never wrong, I think daylight savings time starts over on this coming Sunday. Am I wrong about that? Do you happen to know? I'm asking the wrong person. good morning, guys. It's 9:01 a.m. U.S. Pacific Standard Time here in Los Angeles. And we're going to have a fun loosey-goosey Hake report. I got some feedback. A lot of you liked all the calls yesterday, and I do like them too. But some of you want me to get to some actual stuff and talk about topics, and I will try to do that too. Because I owe you guys some of that stuff. Nice. You can call in, though, 1-888-775-3773 if you're calling in during Hake's live hours. If you're listening live, or if you're not listening live and you just are have the hankering to give Hake a call, you definitely can. But, you know, yesterday I mentioned that I wanted to talk about, what was that topic? Elijah McClain. Today, and, you know, the Supreme Court, I didn't really want to talk about that because who cares? R-word drama, R-word drama. I talk a lot about the R-word stuff. And I know it's unpleasant, so hopefully I'll do a tasteful for the ladies and gentlemen and tenderhearted, a tasteful coverage of this R-word drama. The evil UN, which some people say founded Israel, by the way. So you guys are hating Israel. You should hate the UN. Don't, no, I'm just kidding. Don't hate anybody. Not even the UN. Not even the evil UN. And there were some calls I didn't get to yesterday, so you can call in and I'll try to get to you today. Appreciate it. What else? Anything else? There's some other things, you know, okay? But anyway, guys, let's get right on with the show!
1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, it's the Hake Report, the Hake Report, la, la, la.
How you guys doing? I know I'm fine. I have my, as JLP pointed out, a life without thinking. Without thinking is an amazing exclamation mark. I mean apostrophe life. From Bond, the Bond Teespring store, teespring.com/stores/rebuildingtheman. Okay? And I'm putting the chat Hake tease, at least in some of the chats, okay? teespring.com/stores/rebuildingtheman. Let me go there and confirm that it indeed is working. Yes, it is. It is working. So this, again, this is a size medium, and I won't spend too much time on this, but, and so it just fits me. If you're one of those people who likes shirts to fit, like, snug. There are some mediums that fit a little bit bigger. But this is the 100% cotton one that I tend to buy. And maybe I should be going large. Some of you guys think I should be going large. Large and in charge. That's Hake, brother. Daniel in Texas is on the line. I did not get to him, guys, yesterday. And I like to get to his calls. Daniel in Texas, Tejas, how you doing, man?
I'm well, James. How are you?
I'm well as well. Thank you.
So I wanted to follow up. Oh, by the way, the I got the job that I wanted.
Right on, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I had a few interviews with a few different people, and for different jobs.
Okay.
And I had a couple offers come in, so I had to choose between one offer and the other. There were certain perks that I preferred over one, so I ended up choosing an offer.
Nice.
So anyway. Yeah, I'm happy about
it. Did you see the clip that I put out of your call with me that day the other week?
About the job?
Yeah, I put it out. I put out the, I made a clip out of your conversation with me about this job that you really wanted and advice that you were asking for. So some people in the comments were given some pretty nice advice.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah. Stay close to your phone. You just got muffled.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better. Thank you. Oh, caller is a touch quiet, this chat says. Go ahead.
Anyway, I wanted to touch on Joe from Phoenix talked about Lee separating families.
Yeah.
And I had asked you if you remembered what he said about that, and you said no, so I don't even know if it's worth going over.
He called again and said that Lee separated families, and I don't offhand remember what he said. I was at least somewhat paying attention. I feel like I remember paying attention somewhat. I try to pay attention to my callers. Sometimes, well, there is no try, right? I'm hit and miss at paying attention sometimes. I do zone out at times. I'm kind of bad at that. But he said something, and he did not agree with you that it was... Because you talked about the John Brown thing. That's not what he was talking about, he said.
Right.
Yeah.
He should have stuck with that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Do you remember? Did you? And so you don't remember what he said either?
I do remember what he said.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to, because he said it real quick, and then you kind of just let it go, because, you know, you can only run defense on so many.
Yeah, right.
Things that he throws out there.
True.
But but this one, I want him to slow down and elaborate exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Because he said that Lee, after the war, in order to pay for the cost, he sold the slaves and separated them. Now, on its face, saying that Lee... sold slaves after the Civil War. Sounds very strange.
Yeah.
There's no slave market.
Right. So he said that? And you're sure that that's what he said?
He said it was to pay debts.
Huh.
Could he have meant
after certain battles during the war? But he misspoke?
This is what I think he's trying to get at.
Okay.
Lee had land confiscated by the Federals for war debts, but that has nothing to do with separating slaves from their families. That's a huge leap.
Yeah. True.
So Arlington was Lee's land. And
yes.
It was
Arlington
confiscated,
which is now Arlington Seminary. That's Robert E. Lee's land, huh?
Yes.
Confiscated by the federal government.
Yes.
Wow.
And that was the war debt. But that has nothing to do with Lee's slaves.
Oh.
Right? There's no slave market. You don't sell people.
Right.
Right? So, essentially, the slaves at this point are emancipated. So... none of it rings true. You know, it's like saying if you're laid off from a job, it's like saying if you're laid off, then your family is separated.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Right.
So
interesting.
I know that a lot of slaves went into
and so you don't have any idea what he means, or do you have an idea what he means?
Well, he said two different things. He said Lee separated families to pay off war debts. Well, his payoff of a war debt was the relinquishment of his land to the Federals.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with slaves.
Yeah.
The slaves would be free. They're emancipated.
Right. A lot of them went into sharecropping. They became workers for possibly their old masters, only they were paid now, and they, I don't know what sharecropping exactly is, but basically they're leasing the land and working on it. I don't know if that's what JLP's family was up to on that, on their plantation that they grew up on. But
Yeah, probably. But anyway, I just wanted to touch on that because that's the source of a lot of the reasons why I called in, was to kind of dispel certain myths.
Yeah. And you've sometimes been mistaken about things and corrected yourself.
Sure.
Yeah, and Joe from Phoenix, Arizona has definitely been either mistaken or outright in such a I don't think that he intentionally lies. I think that he's really believes the lies that the devil tells him, but he's in such a ego rush to correct stuff that he thinks that we're wrong about, we being JLP and me and Hake, that he will say stuff that isn't not actually the way it was, thinking that he's correcting us, and he's misremembering or interpreting or doing his own math with things and sticking to his cherry-picked facts that distract from the bigger picture truth that JLP and Hake are presenting.
Well, a lot of the documentation of the events of the war and what people say, it comes down to what people wrote, and a lot of it comes down to official papers, newspapers, diary entries, and there's a chronicler that a lot of people cite. Her name is Kate Edmonston, and she had kept a daily diary over the course of the war, and she had kept up with all the newspapers and the trends. She was a Virginian, and a lot of what we know comes from these various writings from these different people, and she is kind of very prominent because of how she kind of embodied the spirit of the Confederacy.
Oh, wow.
The overall spirit of the ebbs and flows, when morale was high, when it was low. She does a very good job chronicling that in her diary. And one of the interesting things about her chronicling is the different opinions at the beginning of the war of certain people, in particular Lee, that Kate Edmonston was very skeptical of Lee's ability to prosecute a war aggressively enough to win independence for the Confederacy, because in the beginning she was skeptical. She thought he would just dig in. He had some failures in West Virginia early on in the war, and he had gone down to South Carolina. He told the men there to just dig in and defend, and not to press any risks. And because of these scenarios in West Virginia, he's bogged down by mud and weather, and he had two subordinates. They were both political subordinates that didn't get along, and ultimately there wasn't much he could do in that situation in 1861. And this painted a view of Lee as being not aggressive. He's not the type of person that is going to win independence for the Confederacy. So yeah. Kate Edmonston writes this sort of stuff, that she's wary of Lee. But then over the course of the war, she becomes a slavish admirer of Lee.
Wow. This is
because of Lee's accomplishments.
Catherine with a C.
Kate Edmonston.
Devereux Edmonston, I believe. 1823 mm-hmm. to 1875, a member of the planter aristocracy of Halifax County, North Carolina. I searched her name, right? On this totally useless website, Google, unfortunately. Don't use Google. It's mm-hmm. evil. She was an educated woman of strong character whose intelligence and prejudices surfaced repeatedly in her letters and Civil War diaries. Per Women History blog, she died at 51, and she wrote a book, Journal of a Secesh Lady. Secesh! S E C-E-S-H. Kind of reminds me of a borscht. How you? Okay, interesting, man. And yeah, she shortened her name to Kate, K-A-T-E, you know, as like a nickname, even though it was Catherine with a C. Interesting. So she was a woman Women's History Month. Thank you for your contribution.
Yes.
Daniel
yes.
Tejas.
She's a great woman of history.
That's
cool. And another person, now this isn't a woman, but Edward Porter Alexander was in Lee's army at every single major battle, and he had a bird's eye view of the battlefield because he's the artillery officer.
Who is this again?
And Edward Porter Alexander
okay.
was the artillery officer in the Army of Northern Virginia, and he was a very sharp artillery officer. He was the sharpest on either side of the war, and he wrote a journal long after the war at the behest of his family, and it was Memoirs of a Confederate and Fighting for the Confederacy. He wrote two different books, and he didn't publish them until much later in his life with the intention of only his family having access to it, because the things that he wrote were his opinions on failings of superior commanders, including Lee.
Wow.
So he would come under flag. It was very political at the time. So if he was going to be honest, and, you know, if you're a Confederate, you don't criticize Lee.
Yeah.
You don't. And there was a person who did that publicly, and he caught a lot of flack for it, and that was James Longstreet.
Okay.
James Longstreet criticized Lee as a man who had insatiable bloodlust. He just sent frontal assaults after frontal assault. This is way overdone.
Which one is overdone? Longstreet was saying that Lee overdid things.
Yeah, that Lee had this bloodthirsty aspect to him, but it's way overdone. It's not true. But Longstreet accepted a lot of political favors from Grant. He became a good friend of Grant after the war, and this is Lee's first corps commander.
Yeah,
but Longstreet was during the war. He showed many failings, but he showed great competency.
Yeah,
and when Lee first took over the Army of Northern Virginia, it was obvious that Longstreet would be the first corps commander simply because of his abilities. And for Thomas Jackson, who at this time he only had two corps, it was the first corps and the second corps, and Thomas Stonewall Jackson would be of the second corps. But in writing to Jefferson Davis, he had to paint a very, he had to explain why he's putting Jackson in charge of the second corps, why he's promoting Jackson to this position.
you know,
whereas Longstreet, it was self-evident when he wrote to Jefferson Davis, he said, I'm appointing Longstreet as my first corps commander, and Jackson had these various accomplishments, and that's why it was self-evident that Longstreet would be a corps commander, but he had to kind of explain why Jackson would be.
Wow. What's funny is I heard of Stonewall Jackson when I was in eighth grade or seventh grade, maybe both, in history class, you know, junior high, but I don't remember the James Longstreet is sounds like somewhat of a household name, but I don't remember that name as notable as Stonewall is just the name. Stonewall is
yes,
just a catchy name.
Yeah. Well, the nickname for Longstreet was Warhorse, was my old Warhorse. That was what Lee said of him.
Oh, okay.
But the reason you don't know about Longstreet so much is because Longstreet, after the war, became a big target by former Confederates. He became a Catholic. He was critical of Lee. He accepted favors from Grant.
Yeah.
He became a Republican. He did all of the things that you are absolutely not supposed to do as a former Confederate. And that's why Longstreet has fallen by the wayside in the Confederate memory.
Wow. And so the Confederate, like you said, the Confederacy gained a lot of positive PR,
yeah,
if you will, to this, even to when I was in school in the 90s.
Yes, the Confederates basically won the War of Sympathy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
But it's kind of a problem because it overshadows a lot of the accomplishments of each person in the Confederacy, because some performed well, some performed poorly, some were mediocre, and you know, a lot of that's overshadowed because they're all glorified. Oh, the South had the best generals.
Yeah,
it's a war of rights, you know, all that sort of stuff. But what you don't see are the severe failings of. There's a Confederate pantheon, and Joseph Eggleston Johnston's in it, He was the commander of the Army of Northern Virginia before he got wounded and Lee took over. But Johnston constantly retreated, and he gave up so much land and requisitions to the Federals that it almost ended the war in the summer of 1862 right then. And it was a gift that he got for the Confederacy that he was wounded, and Lee had to take command. And over the next month, Lee is going to shape the Army of Northern Virginia to be an aggressive fighting opponent against the Federals that's going to turn around the mistakes that Johnston had made. But Johnston would basically wake up in the morning and decide which way he's going to retreat. And if so, the war would have been ended sooner. And Johnston's character flaws was that he was deeply envious of Lee, that he was always, from the time at West Point to through the Mexican-American War, and now in the new Confederate government, he was always one rank behind Lee. And he was deeply envious. It was absolutely toxic. And he was in field command, and Lee was with Jefferson Davis. And Johnston was obsessed with rank, that he thought that he should outrank Lee.
This is
because
Joseph,
he's in field command.
Did you say this was Joseph Johnston?
Joseph Eggleston Johnston.
Eggleston.
He was bitterly envious of Lee. Now, he was very competent in many ways, but as a Confederate commander, he's peppered with failure after failure. But here he is in the Confederate pantheon with all the other greats.
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting lesson about seeing people. See people how they are. Don't see them as heroes nor as villains. You know, that then you can learn something about or see them clearly. You can see them clearly. You can kind of relate to them on a human, messed up human nature level, and on an appreciation for what they do right, specifically, rather than just hero, evil, stuff like that. I mean,
right.
evil is good to point out, but it should be it should be specific. So nice, man.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your Confederates and Civil War history, as always, man.
Okay, sure. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Daniel in Texas. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Speaking of Civil War, or war, period, honestly, you know, a lot of people are talking about the, I call it the Israel Palestine war drama, because it's drama. There's death in drama, there's horror in drama, there's evil in drama, but it's still just drama. When I say just drama, I say that because we don't need to be so concerned with it. You know, some of you guys are Israel harsh Israel critics, some are even Israel haters, some of you guys are harsh Muslim critics. Some of your guys are Muslim haters. Some of you guys want them all to destroy each other. Some of you guys wish them both well, or pretend like you do, or don't take sides type stuff. And they're trying to get the ladies' emotions riled, in my opinion. They being the liberal media and the evil governments / United Nations. The United Nations, in my opinion, tries to make themselves seem important. Try to make themselves valuable in the world. And it's a good thing to try to make yourself valuable in the world. But I think you should just do your work and you'll become valuable in the world, rather than meddling. The UN, is Israel, said a flat earth victory to Hake during Hake News at the end of hour two, maybe, or something, of the J.C. Lee Peterson show today, maybe the end of hour one. And I've pointed that out to you guys. Well, I've heard, and I think it's true, that the UN founded the Israel that we know of today. They were involved in it. Has the UN done anything good? And now the UN is kind of turning on Israel. They've been doing that for a lot of time because they have, you know, fiends pretend to be your friend. They help you, and then they also turn on you. And there's a whole lot of hatred and enmity between the races, the nations, the religions, the Hatfields and McCoys, if you will. Just, and by Hatfields and McCoys, those were two famous feuding families I heard in America somewhere, where one killed the other, and the other killed the other, and it became endless revenge. Revenge, revenge. They don't even remember what they were fighting about, I think. It's kind of like Israel is occupying Gaza, and in my mind, it's partly because Gaza is firing rockets into Israel, but Gaza is firing rockets into Israel because Israel is occupying Gaza, so it's never going to end. But anyway, whatever. The UN meddling has, my opinion, made things worse, even though they're trying to swoop in and save these people who are supposedly innocent civilians. When I say supposedly innocent civilians, countries fail because the people of the countries are failures on the whole. The ones who are competent are maybe held down, I get that. And the ones who are incompetent or corrupt are running the show. But that's a failure of the people. Like, look at America. The people are quite corrupt. We could criticize the government all we want, but we, the people, are corrupt. Same thing with how I see, which I don't see, which what I sort of assume about the Palestinians. They are just a seemingly dysfunctional bunch of people. Like most people, but they're not even on a level where they can establish their country definitively, apparently, I guess. But anyway, the evil UN has this woman who's acting like, I have pictures of this. I read this in Hake News. Like, she's so important. It's an activist woman. The UN team has found clear and convincing information that hostages in Gaza were R-worded. Unpleasant little headline there. And hostages in Gaza are Israelis and other foreigners whom the Hamas allegedly kidnapped and took as hostages for bargaining chips. Pretty smart. Well, I don't know if it's smart, but effective. And so now the UN is pretending like they're this fair-minded, objective, helpful force. My opinion, they're not. Pramila Patten is the name of this gal, and she's Mauritian barrister. Barrister is not a barista. She doesn't work at Starbucks, unfortunately. She's too old to work at Starbucks, I think. But that's a lawyer. She's from look at this title on her. Picture of her from 2018. United Nations, which I say they're evil, Special Representative on Sexual Violence in Conflict. So they have a whole position called S-word violence in war. By conflict, they mean war, basically. She's been in there for like 7 years, since 2017. Almost 7 years. Clear and convincing information that hostages held in Gaza were subjected to the S-word violence. But you read into it, it's circumstantial evidence. So, one, because they couldn't find quote-unquote survivors of the R-word. And two, because whatever. They couldn't find direct evidence. It's hard to find evidence of the R-word. Especially the longer time goes on. But this gal, she's a women's rights activist. A women's rights activist is not necessarily going to be objective, especially a lawyer. A lawyer has been trained on being objective or being... I don't know if a lawyer has been truly trained on being objective, but on knowing the hoops to jump through to present your case, really. I think human beings, if they are unemotional, then they can be more objective. This woman is an activist. An activist is an emotional person, generally. Women's rights activist, United Nations official, serves as United Nations special representative on that thing. What I just said, the dirty thing. S-word violence in conflict. In other words, she thinks that she's a referee. Tweet! Tweet! Hamas! You guys did wrong to the poor innocent people, we'll call them. Because S-word violence happens against both people. Males and females can get R-worded. And yes, Terry, it does happen. I wasn't saying that it doesn't happen. Terry in the chat was saying, hate doesn't think R-word happens. She was teasing, of course. This 65-year-old Marie. Do you know how to pronounce this name, Hassan? Mauritius. British Mauritius she was born in. So she looks Mauritian. And she was... So she's like this almost India-looking woman, I think. That region. Maybe Southeast Asia. No. I don't know. Dark Pacific Islander, maybe. Who knows? She replaced this other black woman who looks like Haja Zainab Hawa Bangara, Sierra Leonean politician and social activist. Activists involved in the evil UN. That's why I call them evil. Especially when they're involved in so-called women's rights. Ladies, I think that you would prefer men looking out for you rather than these gals. Why else do I call the UN evil? Well, for one, they called America racist. Some organization in the UN. Like, it's this huge thing that everybody wants to get involved in, and it meddles, and sometimes they do some stuff that's supposedly nice. They bring supplies and try to pretend like they're do-gooders. But it's, you know what they say about do-gooders. Do-gooders hamstring the people so that they don't take care of themselves. The UN founded Israel, and then they, at the same time, they founded this thing for Palestinian refugees 75 years ago or something like that. And to this day, these Palestinians are so-called refugees. Get it together. But you can't get it together because the UN is involved. Spoiling you. Spoiling you, and yet you're still... When you're spoiled, you're at a low. They're keeping you down. Crazy. Director General... This gal, who was replaced by the other gal, was the Director General of United Nations Office in Nairobi. UN Secretary General is the guy who's on the top of the UN right now. He's like the president of the UN. They call it Secretary General. Antonio Guterres. No, it's not Gutierrez. He's like a socialist. A socialist is an atheist. An atheist is a mama. This man... We have, UN is run by a mama. Where's daddy? Daddy's home. We need daddy to be home. Anyway, I feel like I might be rambling a bit. To steal a line from the American Anchor Baby. And so they, anyway, that's enough for that one. Thank you, Hassan. The UN is like, hey, Israel, now you need to work. You need to work with us to help us get to the bottom of what happened. And I'm like, go sit down, UN. You're a bunch of corrupt people. The world is corrupt. there was some chats related to this story. Lin Yunshin said, "Stop sucking air through your mouth, Hake. It is nasty and degenerate, and it destroys your own nervous system." Because I was going, oh, sorry, Lin Yunshin, I just did it again. Lin Yunshin has been telling people not to breathe through their nose since before Sean said it on the Jason Lee Peterson show. And nobody listened until Sean said it, and now people are listening. That's why you need to call in sometimes, Lin Yunshin. Nice. But thank you, Lin Yunshin. You don't need to do anything but stay black and Asian and live. And live. Terry Strange said, "Hake doesn't believe that anyone commits R-word." That's not true. That's not true. But that's okay. And no, I was not mad at you. Kevin Howe said, "Biden hates Bibi." Oh, yeah. Evil Biden and evil Obama hate based Bibi Benjamin Netanyahu. And I use the term base loosely. Well, I guess I better like Netanyahu, so I'm not on the side of evil Biden. Kevin Howell kind of mocking me, rolling his eyes at Hake. Yeah, yeah. That's only part of the reason why I like Bibi. And I know that that's a wrong reason to like him, just because Obama and Biden seem to hate him. Because many of people are, you shouldn't like anybody for a dumb reason like that. That's true. But I also like Bibi because he just seems manlier than your average politician. I get that that's a low bar. It is a very low bar. Yeah. Air is one said, "Women enjoy violence, changed my mind." Yeah. That's true. They do. "Hake, let it go," says Terry. Okay. They do. They overreact to it. That's that enjoyment. As JLP calls it, a thrill. They're getting a thrill out of the violence. That's why they talk about violence against women. Makes me roll my eyes. This drama, you know? And these simps, simping for it. They attract it unto themselves sometimes. They are the biggest warmongers. They're the most, as that guy George Orwell maybe wrote in 1984 about women, and somebody in my comments said it. They are the most bigoted, meaning blinders on, wearing their blinders, the most blind supporters of whatever group that their ego has attached them to. The thing that they think is so powerful that makes them feel self-righteous. And that's violence, hatred, anger. It's just the men are more capable of it. More capable, more responsible, too. So again, Flat Earth Victory said, "The UN is, quote-unquote, Israel, Hake, you mindless boy." Well, thank you, chat, for edumamificating me. So, by the way, Kamala Harris, a couple days ago, she's the so-called vice president. Give me a break. Issued a sharp rebuke of Israel over the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza. "Overreaction is enjoyment?" asks Reese's Vids. Yeah, because otherwise you wouldn't indulge in that overreaction. To appease the evil emotions. In a sick, twisted way, it surely durly is. Thank you for the nice question there. So that's your Israel-Palestine war drama update, if you want to call it that. I'm not sure if that was insightful or not, but whatever. Shout out to the chat. I don't call them tards. I do not. Hake is the ard tay. Jeff in Louisiana is on the line over here. Jeff in Louisiana, thank you for calling and holding. What is up?
Hey man, I want to ask you a quick question. I seen on the news yesterday, or while looking at the news things, and I seen out in California now when y'all go to eat like at a restaurant or fast food or anything, there's a 4% charge on now. It says LA Fitness or Health LA or something. Have you noticed that?
That is that nationwide or is that in the state of Louisiana?
It's just California.
Oh, in California, because LA yeah. could be. L.A., did you guys know that L.A. is also an abbreviation for Louisiana?
Yeah, Louisiana.
Yeah.
But no, out in California, it was a news thing on out in California.
Oh, I might have heard something like that. Like, I wonder if it has to do with, like, this forced health insurance.
It's to pay for health care. But it's not a tax that's passed. It's just a charge restaurants are putting on you.
Wow.
That's in addition to your tip percentage they want you to give.
Right, I know. The tips are out of control. Well, you don't have to tip at all. A lot of people don't tip at all, but it's...
Not even y'all states are getting screwed up, man.
In general, for a waitress or a waiter, you're supposed to, at least when I was growing up, tip between 15 to 20%.
Yeah, I mean, I understand tips. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, this healthcare, this so-called healthcare thing... I don't.
Yeah, that's dirty the way y'all say stewing y'all.
Say again? That's how dirty the state's doing us?
Yeah, so that's dirty the way y'all say does y'all.
Yeah.
And did you see, that minimum wage went into effect at $20 an hour for fast food out there?
Yeah, I heard about that. Has that gone up already?
Gavin Newsom put a thing in there. If you have a bakery on site, you don't have to pay that. You don't pay that. You just pay $15.
If you have a bakery?
Yeah, a bakery on site. You know why he did that?
Why?
Because Panera Bread has bakers in the restaurants. the guy that runs Panera Bread out there donated $164,000 to Newsom's campaign.
Yeah. That's funny. Thank you, because I hadn't heard that detail. I never looked into it, but some people were saying, I heard last week or 2 weeks ago maybe, that... Panera Bread got exempt from something because they donated to Gavin Newsom. I'm like, that's smart business. But I didn't know that it had to do, that their excuse was that they have a bakery. Interesting,
yeah,
if true.
Yeah, they had a bakery on site. And there was I won't say his name because I don't know if I know about his show, but there's a guy that did a thing. No, he didn't get pulled the actual numbers of how many restaurants and this, that. But pull number, the guy that owns that donated Newsom campaign out there,
yeah,
he owns, I think, 7,400 franchise restaurants around the world.
Wow.
And just he had 10,000 employees in California that were making, minimum wage in restaurants. And he divided that number into 250, say 250 or more Panera Bread. Then you multiply that times $5 an hour, 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year. That's $25 million that he's making off of donating $164,000.
Wow. Interesting. It pays to pay. Trump has donated a lot to politicians as well over the years, both Democrats and Republicans. I guess that's part of when you're in, quote-unquote, big business.
Yeah, but I tell you what, that's the reason I like Trump, though, because Trump has got his own money, so when he runs, there's nobody, he can't be bought.
Yeah. What do you think about one of my callers said that Trump is owned by the, Jewish groups or Jewish rich individuals donated most of the money to Trump. To the Trump campaign. So he thinks that he's owned by them.
And
I personally...
Can I ask you a question real quick? I didn't hear you call, or was the caller black?
No, actually. He's a white who talks a little bit black. He's a white who talks a little black.
He's a famous white, blue-haired liberal, right?
No, actually. He is a pro-white radical. Who hates Jewish people.
Okay. I don't want to insult your callers. But
No, you're fine. I just did.
I don't believe Trump's bought by nobody.
I think you're right.
You're going to do stuff for certain people a little bit extra, but...
Yeah.
But the point is you look at he's not in there. He's not in there to get money. Okay, y'all was.
Yeah, that's so true. He's not in there to get money. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he donates his salary back, and he's not just making deals because he's made his money.
Yeah, I think he's doing it to because he loves the country. Look at all the hell that he's going through, and he doesn't have to go through it if he doesn't want to. It's either ego or it's the spirit of God, you know, love for the country.
Okay, let me ask you a question now.
Go ahead.
If you were 74 years old, and be honest, you had a wife like Moana, and you had billions of dollars, billions.
Yeah.
And you had all these properties, and you used to go sit on a beach like, hell, Biden spent more time on a beach in his first 3 years than Trump spent on a beach in the last 8 years.
Yeah, I know.
But you just go sit on a beach and not worry about nothing.
Yeah, I know that. Do you have any children? Like, you don't have to dox that information, no. But
no.
I know that when men or even women have children, they start thinking about the quote unquote future for their children. We must secure a future for our children. I disavow. Yeah. I disavow for the sake of my channel. I'll disavow anything for the sake of my channel.
I understand what you're talking about, but I mean, I understand what you're saying, what you're talking about, but even the future, hell, the future for me.
Yeah.
If I live another 20 years, what this country going to look like?
Well, Trump has long talked about the direction of the country going the wrong way. And it went out of control with Obama. The boomers really did not appreciate the boomers with any sense. Really did not appreciate the Obama's destruction of the country. They did not appreciate that. Meaning they saw it and they strongly disliked it. Trump too. He did not appreciate that, and so he came in to fix things, and that's what he sought to do. And he did that, and he started to do that in a lot of ways. And he set a great example as a man speaking the truth.
I got something good for you. Something for you doing show today.
Okay.
Get Hassan to pull up a picture and just show this. Show a picture of Obama in 2008, and show a picture of Obama in 2016 when he left. then you show a picture of Trump in 2016 and a picture of Trump now, and you tell me, you know, you just look at the two people.
Yeah.
And just notice the difference.
Obama all haggard and just like every other president, so-called president, all aged, even though he was a lazy bum. And then Trump, perfect peace.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you just look at him. You look at how much they age and how much he didn't age.
Yeah.
And you realize what they're... Trump... I like Trump because Trump's a bully. Trump's like, I don't give an S. You know, you're going to do what I want you to do.
Yeah,
he's a bully.
Yep. In a good way. A bully for Christ, if you will.
He's a bully for America. People just run up this and...
Yes.
All this crap.
That's what we need. It's like what American Anchor Baby mentioned that I had used to mention. We need these old school, cover your ears, kids and ladies, a-hole American men who just, you don't like them when you have to deal with them and when you're doing wrong and they call you out for it, but you respect them, you appreciate them, and you love them. You can't help it.
You know, they busted Biden again this morning. He flew in 320,000 unvetted immigrants into the country and won't tell nobody where they're at because it'd be a threat to their security.
Oh, wow.
Because Elon Musk posted this morning and said they're setting up something far worse than 9/11.
Oh, man. Crazy.
Yeah. But man, anyway, man, I know it's almost time for you, bro. You got a holler sweater on.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Take care. Jeff in Louisiana. Bye. I think that I might have done it right on time, although I did feel that inward twinge of panic. I'm talking about hanging up not too early so as to cut him off, and then not too late so as to hear the click. Terrible. He can't take the pressure. Of Aaron C., that's Aaron in Utah. I mentioned him earlier just now. What's up, Aaron?
Yeah, what's going on? You officially summoned the mighty beast. So
I did.
you sure did there, Buckaroo. Now, I'll try to be as brief as I can. So the gentleman that was just on, I can only guess that he's either aged a boomer or above.
No, I think I think that he's my age or younger.
Okay, well, that's even worse.
Okay.
Now, so the things, I know I've repeated this a million times.
Yeah.
Okay, the Trump's donors bit shoot video. It's obviously apparent that none of you have still checked it out.
Correct.
Even if you don't, you can see who funded it. This approach that this guy has, with the whole Trump, he ain't doing it for the money. You know what I mean? He's got to do money and all that.
Yeah,
it's not really quite like that. When people become president, like, they make money from it. You know what I mean? There's deals that they make. If I look, it looks like Trump made, $2.4 billion during his 4 years. I don't know if $2.4 billion is like kind of typical for him, or maybe that's more than usual. $2.4 billion
oh, so,
during 4 years.
So he made that amount of money, not necessarily from being in office, but during that time he made that much
money.
Yeah,
like, you know how it is. If you go to Congress or if you end up in the government at all, like, it seems like you seem to come out pretty good. I mean,
yeah,
that mayor,
so true.
Tiffany Henyard or Fannie, it doesn't matter who you are, like, you're pretty much going to make it. So this whole idea that, oh yeah, he doesn't need anything, he's the people's champ.
But you don't know that he made
he's
it.
Robin Hood.
But just to clarify, stupid. Just to clarify.
So dumb.
You don't know that he made that from his wheeling and dealing as president, or if he was making that already.
He already had his businesses, but there's going to be benefits to him. I am very
for
confident
sure.
without even
when
I'm
you're
very confident that he made more than usual. That's the whole reason most people run for political office.
Do you know that
to,
for
like,
fact?
Make more money. No, I guess I can't go that far.
Yeah,
but still.
Now,
but still, the main reason I hopped on here was to combat was to contend with the point that this whole he's like one of us. This is like the 2016 like thing. Like, he has his own money. Look, like, this is so old and played out and so ridiculous. Okay, if you look at
let me interrupt you
team,
briefly.
Trump for president.
Hey,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's bothering me. I want to interrupt briefly to mention that when you're in the public eye. And you're controversial, whether for what's right or for what's wrong or whatever. You say something true that everybody gets excited about, for and against. You're gonna have a lot of support, and you're gonna have a lot of detractors. And when you have a lot of support, there's opportunity to make money. Who wouldn't jump at that opportunity to make money? That's not necessarily corrupt, and that's not necessarily even the reason for your saying your mind. You know, speaking the truth. What's that?
It still provides a motive, though. You know, it's like if I'm on trial for a crime I committed, they're searching for the motive, right? That's actually part of the conviction, right?
To
establish a motive. So it's still a motivating factor.
It's a temptation.
Right?
It's not necessarily a motive.
Temptation, motive, same thing. Sounds
not really
to me.
Not really. Not if you don't go with it. It reminds me of. There was a super chat on the Jason Lee Peterson show today asking, am I feeding the ego by sharing your Jason Lee Peterson content online and with my vet buddies? This veteran asked in a super chat, is it feeding my ego? And JLP said, here's my best advice. Watch the thrill that you don't get some take credit for it and then do whatever is right anyway. So Trump may be getting an ego monetary thrill out of it, or may not be, but you can't assume either way.
Again, the money making factor that I guess might be a variable. Again, I'm not 100%.
Yeah, it's a moot.
Because I'd have to be like
it's a moot
like,
point.
Wall Street Journal. I'd have to be like a Daily Wall Street Journal Starbucks dipper to like keep up on something like that, but. I just know as far as the Juice Crew being behind that, that's not like optional. There's no debate.
Yeah,
there.
I don't debate
like,
that.
The country dude saying, oh, man, I don't know about all that. You know,
they're the ones
was,
with.
You know, raised in a the dude that was raised in a chicken coop saying that, I'm sorry, that's not optional. Okay?
Do you know any?
Optional
do you know
thing.
Any? Do you know any rich pro white men who fund anything?
Mm. Is that even legal? That's not even legal, my day.
Yeah, this is so far, it's so far out of the quote unquote mainstream that if they're doing it, it is on the DL, the down low. It is done in secret, which is how funding should be, honestly, I think, maybe.
We need to take money out of the politics. That is the virus itself.
But, I don't know if that's possible, but I get what you're saying.
I just don't understand how.
But my point in asking you that is, they're the ones with the money, man. They're going to be behind everything. They want to have their influence in everything.
Well, as long as they have that influence and dominance, then we're going to continue to get the same result. It's not going to matter who's what president. I think that's a pretty easy equation.
Not allowing you to get to your points, but what was your third option? You said, because we've talked before, and you said, Trump is not for us, basically, is what you think. So what is the third option?
Well, unfortunately, there pretty much is no third option, and the reason behind that is because I've heard some pro-blacks like say this, you know, they'll say like the master's not going to let you bring the house down with their own tools.
Okay.
You know, and that is true. So as far as having a third option, they just give us a two options. The system is designed in a way to not even let us really get a true third option in there. They tried with Ron Paul in 2012, and as you saw, total media dominance. He had high numbers in certain regions, and he was not even listed on the chart. The media just said, we're not even going to put this dude on the list to show the public. So they do actually control. That's how I know for a fact that, you know, a much bigger kind of revolution.
Isn't it possible, though, that they're not as slick as they think and they miss some stuff?
No, this is something they're going to highly concentrate on. They're going to, if I'm the master over you, I'm going to make sure that you just have those two choices. I'm not going to slip up and be like, oh, well, the third option doesn't slid in there. Looks like they voted for that person. I wouldn't allow it to happen if I was, you know, an evil juice crewman.
But sometimes these people are evil, and evil people have some spiritual blindness. Just like what the Bible says, you're a Christian. The light. Sorry, Germans, I didn't mean to say that, or whatever. I don't know if that's even a German cuss word. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not perceive it. So maybe they don't recognize the power and authority of a man of God like our greatest president, Trump.
Who is not a man of God at all. He's literally complete. I mean, his senior advisor.
Who are you to say?
Senior advisor, okay. This is what I'm saying. These topics are complex. There's a lot of nuance to them. Okay, there's a lot to them. It's not as just cut and dry. I totally understand where you and many others are coming from. And the previous caller, I understand that he has good intentions. He and I probably still have like 90% of things in common.
Yeah.
That we agree on. We both love America.
Yep.
You know, and stuff like that. But there's still some things that are just undeniable. And with Trump, it's not even, none of it's shrouded in mystery at all. His senior advisor is Jared Kushner.
Yeah.
You know, an Orthodox Jewish crewman who has a personal relationship with Netanyahu, someone that is just responsible for a ton of devastation over there. And so
was it, but that could have been godly devastation, because God devastated a lot of things too.
Yeah, I'm laughing because
I don't know.
if God's work is killing Arab extremists, then hey, that's on you. but yeah, man, it's just, dude. Senior advisor is this young buck.
He is his senior. Is there only one single senior advisor, or was he a single senior advisor of many?
No, that's just one position. But if
nobody likes, I mean, nobody MAGA really likes Jared Kushner. That's true. Even the normies like Cernovich and Hake, we don't necessarily appreciate that because he's a liberal, just like his wife Ivanka.
As a senior advisor, he is senior advisor. It's kind of in the name, you know. He plays a huge role in, you know, calling the shots. And it's not just that. So when an election happens, there's a ton of committees. You have like in 2016, you have like the Trump transition team, Donald J. Trump for president. You have all these different committees. And if you see who wasn't, you know, the primary contributors to those committees and who ran those committees, it's predominantly, you guys have to understand out there, I'm not just saying this because like 45 to 50% of, you know, the people behind him are Jewish group. We're talking more like 90%. Okay,
yeah.
We're talking more like 90%. So we're talking a pretty solid amount. You know, we're talking
because they're the cream of the crop.
Draw a conclusion, from, right? Where you can safely draw a conclusion. I mean, I'll give you that. I guess, you know. But again, he's not the third. He's not the third option.
But you say that he's not a man of God. I want to go back to that.
He's not.
How do you know that? Who are you to say?
Well, there's something else I want to tell you. Obviously, I can't really get into this on your show because you guys keep it like rated G. But
right.
There was a call that called into Jesse's show this morning talking about Trump. I don't know. I think he made like a PDF reference.
Right.
I haven't heard that, but I have in fact heard allegations against. You know, because a lot of these people that run for president, especially puppets like Biden and like Trump as well, you know how the
blackmail?
Society, they get the, yeah, it's blackmail. They don't really want to do it. Like you said, Trump doesn't need to be president. He's already rich. Yeah, you're right. The average person would probably steer clear of it if they could, right? But he has to kind of go to bat. He has to do this. He has to play his role in this WWE story of ours.
Yeah.
You know, he has to do that, I think, because there's previous blackmail. And I'm going to be honest with you, I do believe... that he is guilty of certain sexual crimes from decades ago.
Who's not?
I'm not. Are you?
You're not guilty of immoral S-word?
Maybe guilty for hitting it too hard or something?
No, I said immoral. Do you know what immoral means?
I'm talking about like sexual allegations, not like grave.
Sex.
Like,
no, I'm talking about sex out of wedlock.
That's not what I'm talking about. That doesn't mean taking advantage of a woman without, you know, like, I don't know. No, Hank. I've never done anything like
You've never had sex out of wedlock?
Of his other...
I thought that you told me that you used to. That's the only reason I'm bringing it up.
I have, but if I ran...
So then, no buts. You are guilty of so-called sexual crimes.
What?
Against humanity.
In the United States, that's not a crime. I don't know what you're maybe in Saudi Arabia or something. But.
Right, base Saudi Arabia. Bring back Saudi Arabia to old school Christian America.
I say we need Sharia law. Man, I got mad respect. I got two friends that are Saudi Arabian. Man,
yeah,
super base. We of course have the Juice Crew thing in common, so we always chop it about that. I mean,
but you're in your. My point is, you're kind of in your imagination judging Trump, and you're not this righteous man that you are even one to judge.
Okay, so there's some aspects you can say that of Aaron C. is in his imagination about, okay? But I can tell you one thing that I'm not in imagination about. I am not in imagination about 90% of the people that got Trump, all the committees and stuff, the funding.
You made that
was
point.
By the Juice Crew.
I do not take that away from you.
Yeah, it's not my imagination.
Yeah.
Okay, I wish it was. I wish it was true. I wish he was the real deal.
A true pro-white man will work with those people because you have no other choice.
But I know that there's no real solution that way. So I'm supposed to go along with the charade.
You don't know the solution because God knows the way. You are a mere man.
And partake in voting that probably like doesn't even count. In 2020, if you voted for Trump, it like didn't even count.
I disavow that for the sake of my channel.
Oh, my bad.
You're fine.
Either way, with Trump, like I will say, the 2020 election, like I think we all know, like what really happened there. You know, even though I don't support either candidate, you know, I see what happened in 2020. They clearly like aren't counting votes. So,
I think it was on the up and up.
So you want me to get like hyped up as if my team's going all the way?
No. You're right. Maybe. I don't misunderstand me. And don't misunderstand the deep caller called Jeff from Louisiana who said that nobody owns Trump and Trump is a bully for America. And he did not age because he was clean. He had his conscience clean, unlike Obama, you know. So those are great deep points that Jeff in Louisiana made. And so don't get excited for Trump, but just... If you had any sense, you would support him.
You think so?
Yeah, on this issue, of course. You have valid concerns, I guess, but you're kind of on a kick where you get into you know, like you admitted that you're a little bit in your imagination about things, and you don't want to speculate like that. You want to treat all men with, I don't know. There are things that I don't know, and just leave it as an I don't know and not get into speculation.
There's, like, small benefits. Like, yeah, where I live, everyone's, like, a Trump tard. And, like, yeah, there'll be, I'd say, like, an additional resurgence of, like, nationalism and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I understand
spiritually, like I said, American yeah. Anchor Baby became a Christian, from an atheist to a Christian, seeing with the light of the world in Trump.
Well, that's just the anchor baby.
No, it's story. Not just the anchor baby. Yeah. There was a large awakening. But there's more celebration from one soul returning to God, the Bible says it, than for all the rest that don't need to be saved. So don't be dismissive of just the anchor baby, even if it were just the anchor baby. But it's not just the anchor baby. But it is, ain't no such thing as just the anchor baby.
Oh, no. He the man.
Right.
But, I don't know. And I understand. When I listen to all you guys, I like let the Trump thing. I don't care if it's like reference, but I mean, when there's times and there's just like true, you know, when there's Trump fever going.
What's happening? What I think is happening is you're just as you're jumping to conclusions about Trump that you don't know to be true. You're
like
thinking
what
you were saying stuff that we're not saying.
What conclusion is that he's a multi-billionaire from New York City thinking that he's going to save us? What conclusion are you talking about, man?
The
billionaire from New York City tied in with the elites is going to save the day, that I'm not that stupid.
I'm not looking for him
that.
To save the day. I'm looking for him to do a good job as president.
That's save America.
That's not going to save money. A president cannot save America. I mean, unless it's by a miracle from God.
George Washington saved America.
But he wasn't president at that point.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Anyway, nice talking with you, of Aaron C.
Yeah,
appreciate you, man. Hope you got it off your chest.
Sir.
You can call again sometime.
By the way, everyone out there, get the likes up. Have you ever noticed how small your likes are? You got a lot of viewers with low likes.
Oh,
get
cool.
The likes
up. Hit the like
people,
button. Thank you,
hit
man.
Hit the like button. Anyway, you take it easy, Captain James.
You too, Aaron. Appreciate you.
Take care.
Bye. Guys, I'm going to get back to more stories and calls. Yes, please hit the like, because I know you're going to like this. It's hake music time, not fake music. This is Steve Taylor, about 4.5 minutes. Meltdown at Madame Tussauds. That's a wax museum, if you're not familiar. Madame Tussauds, they make wax figurines, to this day, of famous people. Literally, like looks just like them sometimes. From the 1988 album Meltdown, it's Christian, guys. I hope you enjoy it, you musical Philistines. Be right back for the rest of Hour 2. Hang tight.
Meltdown at Madame Tussauds. The president looks alarmed. Meltdown. nobody told me.
So, reminds me of Back to the Future for some reason, says Jessica Kerr. Yeah, I could see that.
Meltdown at Madame Tussauds. The queen is losing face. Meltdown at Madame Tussauds. A national disgrace. Down in the dungeon, the chamber of horrors. Look at all the criminals softened to the cores. They're mixing with their heads of state. Meltdown at Madame Tussauds. Meltdown at Madame Tussauds. Meltdown at Madame Tussauds. Meltdown at Madame Tussauds.
Got my hands in my pockets on the judgment day. Shout out to Steve Taylor. Clever lyricist. Sort of an independent thinker. Appreciate it. Very nice. Thank you for joining me, guys. And thank you for bearing with me. That music, on that music, you musical Philistines. Hope you were able to shovel some snow, plant your garden, harvest your crops. Carver said, Carver 531 said, I would rate Steve Taylor a Huntington's on a scale of Frog Eyes to Mary Rice Hopkins. Huntington's are great. Also Christians, I think. Nice. This is silly. I like it, says Terry. Hey, this isn't Third Day or Newsboys. What's up with that? I haven't played Third Day or Newsboys on the Hake Report, I don't think. Although I've thought about it because I listened to both of them, especially Newsboys. Shine. Make them wonder what you got. Peace like a river flows over me. The wannabe Pearl Jam Christians. No, I don't know. But thank you guys. Hake is proof that no one can pick up where Jesse will leave off, says Neil Darable. That's right. That's right. Some super chats before I get back to calls, guys, over on buymeacoffee.com/thehakereport. Popcorn's Thump Keg says, if there was an ATM machine at a bank that erroneously dispensed an extra $20 bill every 1,000 transactions, the bank would undoubtedly take that ATM out of service as soon as the issue was discovered. After all, we can't be making mistakes with money. What the? Why is it then that people still support capital punishment as it exists today, CP, as it exists today, knowing that people who were not guilty of the crime that they were sentenced to death for have been executed? If you concede that the justice system doesn't get it right 100% of the time on capital punishment, and that even one person has been wrongfully executed, is wrongfully putting someone to death at times just part of the cost of doing business that capital punishment supporters are okay with? Let's stick with capital punishment here, Hake, not to get into whataboutisms on other issues. Don't lecture me on how you want me to do it, I guess. Or I shall consider your request and reject it. No, I don't know. Let me think what I think about the capital punishment issue. Well, as it exists today, it's not that the system is wrong. It's that the people are corrupt. I don't know one case where somebody has been put to death and they weren't guilty and deserve the death penalty. I don't know of one case, but that's probably partly because I have never looked into it. Okay? I've never looked into it. But we do know of people being wrongfully convicted, period, and going to prison at least, certainly. And as it is today, we have a bunch of liberals who are mama spirit people, and mama is not about justice at all. They are not about justice. Mama governor, beta governor Gavin Newsom, for example, wants to suspend the death penalty and do this restorative whatever. Restore people. That's the mama. And liberals punish the innocent and exonerate the guilty. Just look, for example, at the so-called Central Park Five. Certainly guilty of something. Maybe not actually guilty of the R word. Maybe one of them said this was my first R word. The Central Park Five from the 90s, the young black and Hispanics were wilding and beating up people, robbing them, and in some cases R-wording them allegedly, or convictedly, honestly. But they were never exonerated. That's fake news. Their sentences were vacated. Exoneration means they were never retried, I'll tell you that much. But they were never facing... Trump said anybody who commits a crime like this deserves the death penalty. And I think that that may be accurate because it's just merciless, brutal, treating one another like animals' behavior, treating their fellow human beings like animals' behavior, worse than how you treat animals. So I think that we need more than just death penalty. We need a return to actual justice. Men, not these women judges. Fair-minded people like mostly white or Justice Clarence Thomas. Maybe an Italian in there somewhere, like a Scalia. Rest in peace. People like that who are for actual justice and truth. You know? And it should be swift. Justice should be swift. So right now we have lawyers, liars. You have to go to law school and become blind and brainwashed and intellectual. So you're not about justice anymore. Terrible. But you're pretending like that's a fair comparison. That's not actually a fair comparison. An ATM machine is an ATM machine that has a glitch. And the system of innocent unless proven guilty... There's no glitch in that. There's no glitch in the system of capital punishment for murder and maybe R-word, forcible R-word, real actual forcible R-word. And I'm not necessarily sure that that's a just punishment for that, maybe. Depends on the situation. Just as with murder, it depends on the situation, I think. But thank you. Popcorn's Thumbcake. Another super chat over on buymeacoffee.com. Hope that was interesting for you guys. Someone bought a coffee. Good morning, Hake. Good morning to you. Afternoon to some. Those of you in Central Time and Eastern Time and overseas. Or evening or early morning, maybe. If you're way overseas. I was reading 1 Peter 3, KJV. And thought of you. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. What does that mean? And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason for the hope. A reason for the hope that is within you. That is in you with meekness and fear. King James Version, KJV. Remember to study, to shew thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, my friend. Thank you, someone. That's kind. What does that mean to you? Carver bought a coffee over on buymeacoffee.com/thehakereport. Hey, Hake, in response to Matthew's coffee from yesterday, I agree with limiting Mark's time. What about Luke and John? The Gospel of Mark? We shall not limit the Gospel of Mark to 10 minutes max, and encourage you to take one step further and make Joe's calls a minimum of 15 minutes. It's 2024, and that's the least we can do. Just kidding. Hypothetical for you. Joe and Mark are trapped in a cell. There are two locks on the door. Each of them have one of the keys secured to their back, and they cannot reach it themselves. So to get out of the cell, they must turn their backs to the other and trust him to take the key without bonking him on the head or something. Both keys are needed to unlock the door. How or do they escape their cell? Asks Carver. Can't we all just get along? Thank you, Carver. Amusing. Renesio. Bought a coffee. Mr. Hake, how many offensive jokes can you say before they want to hear it at Human Resources? Shout out to Joe for the joke. I don't know why I'm laughing. Maybe his delivery is just tickles my funny bone. Over on streamlabs.com/TheHakeReport, Gregatron says, great calls on Monday's show, Hake. Everybody was on fire. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, I'm going to call him from now on. John from Kentucky, Kentucky John, A. Maze, my favorite caller from the sundown town of Dayton, Ohio. Rick in Hampton, Virginia, and all the good people. No people are good, Gregatron. But thank you. Appreciate that. That's cool. And by the way, my talk stream should be working. Talk stream was down, guys. Just a quick little heads up. Let's hear it. This is the JLP Live app. Crank it. See that? You hear it? This is on my phone. You hear that? So that's cool. That was on the JLP Live app, or if you go to jcleepeterson.com, or type in rdo.to/jesse. That's on that's over on if you have an Android. And this is the listen line. And it should work for American Anchor Baby and Joelle Friday TV. Okay? So, I really like the JLP Live app. For iPhone and iPad, you can get the app. If you have an Android or some other non-Apple phone, then you can just go to the website, rdo.to/jesse, and then you could turn it into like a little wannabe app thing, I think. And you can play it basically 24/7. It replays the Jesse Lee Peterson show when we're off hours. Cool, huh? I think it's cool. Nice. Shout out to Misty for the ice creams and Kid Combo 1.0 for the lemon. And the rest of you guys. I think we're all clear. Hey, what's up? Oh, Strizzle. All politicians are not morally straight. Nice. Nice. Where are Michelle's pregnancy photos? Well, maybe she had the good sense not to take photos of her pregnancy. Maybe she didn't look as beautiful when she was pregnant. Let me get to Rick in Hampton, Virginia. Oh, no. Not Rick. Russ in Hampton, Virginia. What's up, Russ? How you doing?
Man, you just scared me to death. You always do this.
What?
When you talk about Rick in Hampton, Virginia.
Yeah.
Because my oldest brother's name is Rick. And every time you say it, my brain immediately bounces to the thought of my brother. And I'm like, well, he would never call here.
That's funny, man. I forgot about that. It's good to hear from you, Russ. It's been a while. Russ, with the fuss.
It has, man. I've had to deal with some things, and I'm trying my best to deal with it and trying to move forward. But, you know. But I wanted to call you as, well, actually, I really wanted to call Joel, but I can't always catch him.
Oh, but, Joel's live right after me, but you can't always catch him?
No, because health issues with me sometimes makes me not available to do certain things.
I understand, man.
Handle it in a certain way, because I've had serious stuff happen.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I've never said this, but I can't walk unassisted anymore.
Wow.
Because, yeah, I've had something. It was like a mini stroke, and it affected my brain. So the areas of my brain that handles balance is all messed up. So the last time I tried to walk in an open area without assistance, I fell, and I broke my back.
Ouch. Are you laughing to keep from crying?
No. I mean, this is something I've dealt with, you know?
Yeah.
It's over for me now. I've dealt with it. And, you know, I remember I was talking to somebody, and I said that, and I said, man, when I fell, it felt like I made Mike Tyson mad, and he punched me in my back. And he laughed, and he was like, I'm sorry, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean, I said, no. I understand why you're laughing. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay, because the end result is I'm fine. I've dealt with it. And I'm continuing to deal with it.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
Yep.
I mean, I have health issues. I have horrible things that happen to me. And I just roll with the punches and keep it moving forward. Because that's all I can do. What else am I going to do? Lay here and just die?
Yeah.
No.
Nice.
You know.
That. Now, you know what? And people aren't feeling what... People aren't feeling what you're feeling. When they have this feeling sorry for you and stuff, you're not necessarily feeling that way, nor is it any favor to you to feel that way.
No, well, that's the thing. I don't feel sorry for myself or anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't get mad. I do get frustrated with myself when I realize that there's something that normally I could do very easily
that
I can't do anymore. I do get frustrated, but I don't get mad. I just figure out, okay, you can't do it like you used to do it. What's the new way to do it?
Nice.
And once you figure it out, then you practice doing it so you're good at it.
Cool.
And you just keep moving forward.
Right on. That's cool.
I mean, but what else can you do about it?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. That's called being a man about it.
Well, there's nothing else I can do about it, I don't think.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I wanted to ask you, you're still a Trump man?
Oh, yes.
Okay. This is what I wanted to ask you. I don't understand how you can vote for or... promote a man who is in the court system trying to get immunity because of the job he held. I have heard him say that he should be able to get SEAL Team 6 to assassinate his political opponents and not be prosecuted for it. That's insane to me.
He said that?
I would never. I would never promote a man or you know, want this man to be the leader of the country, because that's insane.
You want me to respond to that? I think you're insane for taking that so seriously. Because nothing, I know he said it, but Trump, nothing about Trump speaks injustice to me. Like, there's nothing unjust about what Trump, big picture, is about. His conduct on January 6th. He was about peace and love for the country and fight for the country. Not in the wrong way. Fight, spiritually. And show your support. It was there was nothing that's, wrong that's with how Trump think? Is. That's what I know. That's what I saw.
No. That's what you think. So you think everything he does is legit and fine?
Overall, yes.
Well, then why is he fined over $500 million if he's doing everything so fine and so great?
Because evil tries to punish good for being good.
Evil punishes good for being good. You know, that's real funny because I used to listen to JLP for a long time.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember Jesse Lee Peterson said, everybody deserves what happens to them. So according to his words, Donald Trump deserves all these multi-billion dollar fines against him.
He's brought it on himself by opening himself up as a target. He's not a victim. He's not playing victim.
No, he's not a victim. He's getting what he did.
He
deserves everything he did.
You don't fall for all the sexual allegations, do you? I think that he brought that stuff on himself too, because he was openly a sexual person. You know, he was shamelessly sleeping around with people back in his younger, wilder, less Christian days. But now he's a repentant man, for all we know.
Yeah, you can't tell. You don't know that.
But you don't know that he isn't.
I never said anything about his sexual activity.
So you don't have any opinion on that?
Sexual activity.
You don't have any opinion on it?
I mean, I believe that he paid Stormy Daniels a whole bunch of money for a reason.
I think the rat did that for a reason to shut her up because she was running her mouth lying about him.
No, because he knew he could lose because of it. That's why he did that.
Right, but again, to shut her up because she was lying about him.
About his sexual activity.
To shut her up because she was lying about him?
No, I don't believe she was lying about him.
Why not?
I don't believe that at all.
Do you believe that she was telling the truth about him?
He paid, didn't he?
Do you believe that she was telling the truth about him?
About them having sex?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it.
Why do you believe it?
Why would I not believe it?
Because women sometimes lie, and it's not your business, so you just leave it as an I don't know.
Yes, women do lie.
Yeah.
And no, it is not my business,
right.
But if it goes out there, I have the right and the ability to form an opinion.
You
now,
do?
Spiritually,
you don't have a right to do that.
Let me finish. I don't care about no spiritual. That's not what I'm talking about.
Would you want somebody to form an opinion just because somebody gossips about you or slanders you or says something true or false?
I don't care what nobody thinks about me. You can think whatever you want about me.
That's not exactly true. Answer my question. Would you want them to believe lies about you or have an opinion about you based on somebody else gossiping about you? True or false gossip.
Once again, I don't care
what
you think about me. You asked me what
is
I
it
want,
right?
And I'm telling you, I don't care.
Okay, I accept that. I don't know if I believe you, but I accept it.
Why would I care?
Do you think you're right to have an opinion when you don't know?
Yeah, I got a right.
No, I didn't say have a right.
I
didn't say have. Do you have a right to make an opinion? I said, are you right to have an opinion?
Yes, I am right to have an opinion. Is my opinion right? No, not necessarily. Not all the time.
So why have an opinion if you might not be right?
Because I'm human, and that's what humans do. I hear things, and I think to myself, is that true?
So you accept
that?
So you accept So you're just fine not holding to the truth because you're human?
What? Say it again?
You're just fine believing things that may or may not be true when you have no proof for it just because you're human? That's your excuse?
It's not an excuse. That's the fact.
No, you.
I can't.
It's a fact that you believe things that may not be true.
No, let me finish.
What?
My brain thinks.
Yeah.
I think. Now, am I taking my opinion and going out to the media and stuff and putting it out there? No. I have an opinion to myself. That's it. It's to me. It's to myself. It's in my head. It's not harming nobody. It's not affecting nobody. I can believe whatever I want to believe. Just like you can believe whatever you want to believe. You believe in God.
So you want,
I don't. But are you right and I'm wrong?
So you don't want to. You don't have any desire to believe things because they're true. You just want to believe whatever because you want to believe it.
That's not true.
Because you can believe anything that is alleged about Trump. It's just hearsay. It's pure. It's all hearsay. You have no firsthand knowledge of it.
That is true. That is true. And if you came to me respectfully and we talked about it, I would say I ain't got no proof of it. Like nobody. I mean, I have not researched it.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard both sides of it.
Yeah.
So at this point, I don't have no proof. But I think he probably did it. I think he probably did do it.
That's silly.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Do you believe in God?
Yeah.
Where's your proof? You don't. So it's silly that you believe in God. The same thing you're saying to me, I'm saying to you. But of course, you're going to say, you're wrong. No, you can't say that. Yeah, I can. Because you're doing the same thing that I'm doing to you. But of course, you're right and I'm wrong. What's the difference?
Because you're blind, look around. That's like evidence
blind.
Of God.
Well,
evidence of God is around you. You're just blind to it.
Show me. Tell me. Show me. I'm willing to listen because I looked.
You're not actually looking?
I looked.
No, you're not.
I have. You don't know what I did. You don't know me.
I know your spirit. You're crazy.
Tried.
You're a bitter, angry person.
What am I bitter and angry about?
I don't know, but you're bitter and angry. It's quite clear
then
in how you talk.
You don't know what you're talking about. Then you
it's,
don't know what
it's
you're
evident
talking about.
In your, it's evident in the tone of your voice that you're bitter and angry.
I talk a certain way.
If you don't care what I think about you, why are you getting all heated?
I'm not getting heated. I talk. I raise my voice sometimes. That's
because you're passionate.
That I speak.
Because you're a passionate atheist.
And what's wrong with that?
Because you're blind, it's nothing wrong with it. It's just that you're blind. You pretend.
I'm not blind.
You pretend that
I'm
you're
not blind.
You pretend you
I'm
don't.
I'm not blind.
Yes, you are. Spiritually,
no,
you're blind.
No, I'm not. I'm not spiritually blind. You're spiritually dumb. Because you're wrong. Let me ask you this: since you want to say that you're right and I'm wrong, and I researched.
I didn't
for a long
say
time.
I'm right and you're wrong. You brought up this money thing about Trump. As if he paid her because it's true, because he did it. And then you admitted that he paid her to shut her up.
Yeah.
And I said, is it possible? And I said, is it possible she was lying? You said, anything is possible, but I believe
yeah,
he probably
is.
Did it. Isn't that
I
evil?
Do.
That's I know
no,
you do because
evil.
You believe all kinds of cockamamie things like there is no
it's
God.
It's not evil. I know me.
You think there is no
nothing,
God? You believe
I
all kinds
pay
of crazy things.
I wouldn't pay nobody a dime if I didn't do it.
Huh?
I said, if I was accused of doing something, I wouldn't pay nobody a dime if I didn't do it.
You don't know what you would do.
I do know what I would do.
No, you don't. Has this
yeah,
ever happened
I do
to you?
Know.
Has this ever happened to you when you were running for president and somebody was bringing up your past, alleged real or unreal past, and making claims about you? That's happened to you? You've run for president,
no,
and this thing came up?
Obviously, I've never run for president.
Then you don't know
no.
what you would do.
I do know me, and I know I don't do stuff like that. To pay money for something I didn't do, no.
You think you're
I
better than Trump because
that.
Of that?
I think I'm better than Trump for a lot of reasons.
Oh, okay. in what other ways do you think you're better than Trump?
Because I'm not a total liar. Like
yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
You are a liar.
Do me a favor. Stop saying stuff and prove one thing you're saying.
Okay, here's one proof of you being a liar. You believe you believe stuff without evidence.
Yeah.
That makes you a liar, because you believe stuff blindly.
That does
blindly.
Not make me a liar. That makes me somebody that has an open...
Have you ever been accused by a woman of who made something up about you, and she really believed it, but she was in her imagination?
No.
You've never been accused like by a woman in her imagination, making up stuff out of her imagination towards you?
If somebody accused me of being a cheater in a relationship, that was a lie.
Yeah, see? So the same thing with you. You believe stuff out of your imagination that's not true. That's called being a liar.
No. I didn't believe anything in somebody's imagination.
In your imagination.
I was accused of cheating. I knew I didn't. And the way that I dealt with it was like, okay, believe whatever you want to believe. I don't care. I didn't do it. So if you want to believe that I did it, fine. Believe it. Have a good day.
Whatever.
I know what I did and what I didn't do, and I didn't do it.
Right.
I was accused.
Same thing with Trump.
Of taking a girl.
He knows that he didn't. Trump knows that his conscience is clear, and he's fighting for the country. And these people hate Trump.
Yeah. Well. All right. Well. All right. How about this? Because you seem to ignore all the negatives and fixate on the positives because you're a Trump guy.
No, I support. I ignore noise. And see Trump for what he is. He's like an honest man doing honest work.
Okay, so do you believe that Trump is a liar?
No.
Okay. So when he was running for president the first time, and he said that he was going to build a wall, and Mexico was going to pay for it, did Mexico pay for it?
I think they were going to pay for it, yeah.
Why do you think they were going to pay for it?
Through remittances. He explained it in his website, in his campaign website.
Whoa.
No, you asked me to answer your question. Through remittances, Mexicans living in America send half their money home to the family over there, because they separate their families in order to come here, and they send half their paycheck home to Mexico because that's their home. And we remit some of that money in order to help pay for the wall. So Mexico is paying for it.
Because the Mexican president said, I'm not paying a dime for the wall. He said that from the beginning.
He cussed. Is the Mexican president in charge of what of remittances when people send money back home to their families?
So they're sending money back home to their family.
Is the president of Mexico in charge of that?
They're sending money home to their families. How does that get to the American government?
Remittances.
No.
So you haven't even looked into this.
If that was the case, why did
have you looked into that
the
topic?
Government? Why did they have to shut down the government?
Have you looked into that topic?
Why did they have to take money from the military?
I'll tell you.
For that wall.
I'll tell you, but you have to answer my question.
That somebody else was paying for.
I'll tell you, but you have to answer my question, Russ.
Because he was a liar.
Russ.
Why did he put in his book that his father was a German country?
Russ.
And his father was born in New York.
You're going crazy.
Because he's
a
liar.
You're changing the subject
That's
like
what
a
he
woman,
does.
Russ. Russ! You're changing the subject like a woman. Had you even heard of the remittances issue?
No.
No, you had not? So you hadn't even looked into this. You just bought the lie that it was a lie.
No, explain
You just
to
bought
me.
The mainstream media lie that it was a lie. You had never even heard of the remittances issue.
I saw what was happening, and I saw it for myself. It was a lie. as in all the other things that
But
he
you
does,
just admitted that you did not know, you did not look into the remittances issue. Did
no,
you?
No, I did not.
So then you don't know that it was a lie.
Then explain it to me.
I just explained
it
to you.
I'm open. I'm open to listening to you.
No, you're not open. I just explained to you, and then you went off into Trump talked
about
his dad born in Germany.
Here. No. you start talking about families from Mexico work here, and then they send money back home to their families.
And we get some of that money.
What does that got? How do we get that money?
It's called remittances. I don't know. Look into it. If you're truly interested.
No.
You're not
no,
truly interested,
no.
are you?
If it's going, I'm asking you. If it's going to their families,
yeah.
How does our American government get it?
Maybe they're sending it through Washington Mutual. If you're so interested, you should go look into it yourself because I don't know the ins and outs of how this was going to work.
So you're claiming something that you don't know about.
I don't know that much about it.
Then maybe you shouldn't talk about it since you don't
maybe
know
you
it.
Shouldn't talk about it because you just admitted that you didn't even know about this issue.
I didn't bring it up and talk about it.
Yeah, you did because you brought up how is Mexico going to pay for it. That was one of the ways that Mexico was going to pay for the wall.
I did not ask you how Mexico was going to pay
for it. Yeah, you did. You said that was a lie.
No.
You said it was a lie that Mexico was going to pay for it.
No, I said
and I told you no, this is how they were going to. Russ, be quiet. I told you yes, this is how Mexico was going to be paying for the wall. Through remittances.
You know, here's...
So
here's
you are a liar, Russ.
No, I'm not a liar.
Yes, you are a liar.
You're crazy. I'm not no liar. And here's the difference. Since you brought it up...
There is no difference between...
I am now going...
Go ahead.
And the difference between you and me is now that you said it, I am going to look it up so that I can show that you're wrong... And I can throw it back in your face because
you're
calling me a liar.
So you're assuming
I'm not a liar.
So let me get this straight. You're assuming that I'm wrong because you're going to look into some mainstream media propaganda claiming Hake is wrong and Trump is wrong about the remittances thing. And then you're going
to
throw it back in my face.
Listen.
You're assuming that I'm wrong and you're
going to
be proven right.
I'm going to look at what remittance is.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to see it for myself.
Okay.
Because I don't understand how, because I got a friend in Africa. If I send him money, does that mean the African government is getting money?
No, that means that there is somebody who's handling that money, a middleman. Either maybe you send it through Washington Mutual. A lot of Mexicans, I've sent money to Mexican friends down there through Washington Mutual. And Washington Mutual has some regulations from the government. You know, a lot of businesses are regulated by the government. And so they may have to dock some of that pay and pay it to the American government through... something called remittances.
Like a transaction fee. Is that what you're trying to say?
Something along those lines, perhaps.
Yeah, but you don't have to send money through an agency like that.
Whatever, man. I don't know.
Oh, man.
So anyway, you just admit that you didn't fully know what you were talking about. But you don't have to admit.
I didn't bring this up. So I
yeah, you did. You brought up Mexico is going to pay for it.
I got to go, man. Yeah, okay.
Take
care. Because you're wrong, but that's okay. You'll be wrong.
You're petty. You're a petty woman.
I'm not a petty woman.
Yeah, you are because you're just saying, yeah, you're wrong.
Man.
You're wrong. You want the last word.
And the fact that I'm not cussing you out shows how I'm not a petty woman.
Yeah, you are because you're even thinking about cussing me out. I got to go. Bye.
Yeah, you do that.
All right. What a mess. Well, guys, this has been the Hake Report. I hope that you enjoyed it. Sorry. It's 2:38 Tuesday. 2:38 Tuesday. Joelle Friday TV is coming up next, guys. I'm going to have to get to some of these other stories tomorrow. I still haven't gotten to Elijah McClain. What a mess. Terrible. And I'll get like super chats and the rest of the callers. This is Moving Too Far. 2:38. Moving Too Far from the 2000 album Regulate the Chemicals. Adios, America. Joel Friday TV coming up next. Bye. A fitting song for Russ versus Hake, the animus between us. Joel Friday TV coming up next. Adios, America.